Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear deal pal.
No, we're keeping
it. I'm staying? All right, dear pal, Dave Damashek. I don't know. I got Joel's playing the Michael Kay highlights in the background. I'm all flustered here. How are you, Dave?
I'm fine. And we're not going to have some sort of star hierarchy where you get to redo your show.
That's
open.
True.
Not when Eddie Spaghetti takes what I do on -3 and just goes behind my back. He records me surreptitiously talking to our guests. And then he throws it out on social media for
that
everybody to hear.
They made fun of your background.
I didn't care for that.
Well, yeah, the things they were saying to you was funny. Yeah. Yes, check that out. -3, Dave Damashek, Handsome Hank, and Matt Money Smith made a lot of great points. We want to talk about that later when we get to our NFL section. Taping this on Wednesday night, Cinco de Mayo. You'll be listening on the 6th or maybe the 7th or never. But kids over here, Dave, Cinco de Mayo, they wanted to order Mexican food.
Ah, we didn't do that at the house. How did we
do it
that
now? It's not too late.
We got to let's hurry up. You know me, Sal. I got to get out there and start fiesta time. You know.
Let me
go.
Ask you this. You know, I celebrate with the eating because I'm not a boozer. Didn't matter, if no one was watching, if it didn't matter how much weight you gained, nothing mattered. You weren't going to be judged. How many baskets of tortilla chips can you eat?
It really is a problem for me. I mean, it's not a problem because it tastes good. So, I mean, it's an issue. Let's say it's that, not a problem. I truck those things over and over. As many times as they'll set it up, I'll knock it back down, and it'll happen in 11 minutes. If they put four baskets with good salsa and chips like they always have, at least in Southern California, they're all really good. Wherever you go, and they're always warm, and they always have a hint of lime. Have you noticed that?
Sometimes. That's the thing. Yeah.
Very nice. Anyway, I eat them all, and then I'm loaded up. Fortunately, I'm a glutton, so I am still able to squeeze in the food that I ordered, but a normal man would not be able to survive that.
Yeah, I get embarrassed after the third or fourth basket if we're out eating. And the other thing is I'll order guacamole, with something. You have to pay for the guacamole. But a lot of times you go like a basket and a half of chips for every guacamole thing. And then when you go to order the second guacamole, that's when you need to stop yourself, I think.
It is. Yeah, I hear you. But that is a good issue. And all restaurateurs, especially ones who operate Mexican restaurants, this is for you. You got to denote on the menu that this chips and salsa, that's standardly going to get put down.
Right.
Now, if I order guacamole, you don't need to give me the chips with the guacamole on top of it. Now it's ridiculous. You know, now like, they always bring out, a whole thing. It's like, you already put the chips down here. Hey, either way, this holiday deserves the question. Best food holiday, Sal. Have we already done this one? We may have run through this around the holidays.
Are you kidding me? Someone's going to beat Thanksgiving? No.
Well, I'm literally go win play show. Is Cinco de Mayo ahead of July 4th where you grill the wieners and have apple pie and all that kind of stuff? Is it better than, you know?
I like the turkey on Thanksgiving. I just love everything Thanksgiving represents.
Me too.
No gifts, football, great. You don't have to worry about any of that crap. I like the Christmas 7 fishes. And then I think I'm going to go with St. Patrick's Day. I like the corned beef and cabbage. That's my 3.
I forget about the Italian wrinkle you put on the holidays, the 7 fishes. That does probably push it higher up in the rankings.
Yeah.
Anywho, let's kibitz about sports if you'd like.
Well, let's do it. I just want to bring up the chips. I'm proud of myself, though. With the kids ordered Mexican, and I was like, I could order two, and the wife, and I'm like, you know what? I have to lose weight because I have a physical. I skipped it last year, Dave, and because of the pandemic and everything. So it's been 2 years since I've seen a doctor. And this is how freaking crazy I am. I have to get down to the same weight I was when I saw the doctor 2 years ago. I walk around like a fat slob for 2 years. People I see every day, all week, I don't need to impress. But this doctor, who I'm around for 45 minutes, this is the guy, because he has on his chart whatever I weighed in May of 2019. So this is, I got to get down to this, and then I promise right back up.
He's not your enemy. You know, it's not like the two of you together, like he's your adversary and you have to trick him and then return back to your weight before you walk in the door. There, you understand. He's there to help you, Sal.
He is?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, they
very rough on me.
It's getting to the point now that we can't. We're like those. We're at the age now. Like we have to go to our doctor's appointments for real. It's sad.
I know.
I don't
care. A lot of shit going on. I don't like it either.
And you get the probe.
I want to see. Yeah.
Every time you get the probe. Every time. I bet the younger fellas here, Joel is one of the older fellas. Jim, you ever get the prober? You ever have to go in there for your annual physical?
He gives it. I don't think he gets it.
That's a weird move, Jim, but okay.
Jim, no, don't come on visually, but just answer.
No, never.
Okay. He hasn't gotten it. No. I want to check. So Wednesday night, let's look at the scoreboard. All right, the Mets are looking to split here. That'd be nice against the Cardinals. They're up 5-1 in the fifth. All these games are over by the time you listen. Your Buccos, Dave, what did you say? They're down 2-0.
Yeah.
Is that still going? Yeah, 2-0. They're down.
Down San Diego way. We made a road trip down there in the inaugural season of that stadium. Petco Park, cool place.
That was fun. 2-1 now. You got runners on, too. Knicks getting clobbered. I think this is every Knicks fan's really nightmare here, that they go, they get to the playoffs, and they play a team, again, like Denver, who they won't play in the Eastern Conference, but they're getting slaughtered by Nikola Jokic and company.
That doesn't make any sense. Everything's turning up rosy today for James Dolan. How did he's going to take an L on this day of all days? That seems weird.
They took a day off. Yankees and Astros are tied. We'll get into that. So my big bets today were the Astros and freaking Spaghetti's Rangers against the Caps. I figure revenge. And it looked like it. I was looking good for exactly 1 second. Puck drops, and so do the gloves. Rangers and Caps square off right when the puck is dropped. Tom Wilson wasn't suspended yesterday. I don't know. I watched this replay, and unless something happened way before or way after, is this the worst thing to happen in hockey in years? People are making it like the Rangers announcer, Sam Rosen, was about to break down in tears, Spaghetti. And not like the tears you shed when you saw scenery.
Oh, Spaghetti, let me just tell you, tread lightly, Sal. Eddie Spaghetti is very fragile today.
Okay.
I'll put this on myself. About all of this.
I'll put this on myself because I think I've seen rougher housing. And it just looked like Tom Wilson was, it looks like he was just better at being tough.
What are you, crazy? What did he do? Are you insane? You understand the idea. Actually, you went to law.
What did
school,
I see?
So
he had a guy down. He had the guy down on the ice and he gave it like an extra shot.
But you're familiar with the notion of recidivism, right? I mean, like that's why it matters. It's not like he's some rando.
No, I get
he's not Capo Caco doing it. Who has no history of violence. This creep does it once every fortnight at minimum. Of course, they should ban him.
My God, did he take a swing at Mo Damashek? What happened?
How many times do you have to see him do this? How many times do you have to see him try to end people's career and put him in a wheelchair?
I guess
otherwise.
I have to see it more. I don't think he tried to end the career. I don't know. It seemed a little rougher than normal, but I don't know.
He pulled him down by the hair. He has no control.
By the hair.
Poor Bredman. He did by the hair. Pulled
all right. It was
by
a scuffle by the. It was a scuffle by the net. It wasn't.
Could have killed him. Could have killed him if he hits his head hard enough on the ice. Mm-hmm. Eddie Spaghetti, come on.
All right. I didn't know I was watching OJ on ice. I just took it as the isolated incident. I was like, this isn't as bad as I've seen 100 times, but go ahead.
What I will say is seasons ago, Henrik Lundqvist was fined $5,000 for squirting Sidney Crosby with water. Okay. And Kyrie Irving this past week was fined $35,000 by the NBA for not speaking to the media. And Tom Wilson only gets fined $5,000. And I think the issue is, no Rangers. Well, Bredman's not going to play the rest of the season, but if he was pulled down by his hair, which he was, and his skull, helmetless skull hit the ice, and then he has a serious injury instead of luckily his shoulder pad hit the ice first.
It's always the case.
Now we're talking about a guy who is like his career is probably over with or whatever, but people are taking it lightly because he was okay. And they're just like, oh, you're not being tough enough. The Rangers, like Mark Messier saying the Rangers don't have enough guys who would fight in an alley. It's like the league isn't like that anymore. You got to have guys with skill. The Rangers tried that. The Rangers tried to roll out three lines of guys who had a bit of grit to them and led nowhere. They finally have a talented team now. And one dirty player who's done this to countless teams is continuing this. And for him not to get a suspension is absolutely
crazy. I get. I took it as the isolated. So, but if that happens to anyone else, it's a 10-minute misconduct, right? Just like it was, right? I mean, the fines are off.
But it didn't happen in a vacuum, which is my
point.
The people who are defending it, like, well, Sidney Crosby did something very similar. I mean, first of all, if you're watching it in context, he didn't do something. I mean, the motion is similar. It's not as harsh. But secondly, Sidney Crosby doesn't have the same history of committing felonies on the ice and trying to end guys' careers and or lives. Ah, it's crazy. You know what? Screw. And let me tell you one more thing. I'm sorry. One other thing. The Rangers, in my mind, did it wrong. You don't go after Tom Wilson. You don't go. I mean, he's better than 50-50 shot that the guy who you send out there to beat him up is going to get bloodied himself. That's more or less the way it went. And then they sit Tom Wilson down with a phony injury in between the first and second periods. What you need to do is eye for an eye, Sal. Mm-hmm. We all saw the Untouchables. You want to get Wilson, you pull a knife. They pull a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of theirs to the morgue. That's the NHL way. I don't know what the Rangers were doing, right? I mean,
there's a couple of things because they drop the gloves and three pairs square off, and then four guys are not fighting at all. So how do you decide who doesn't fight and who fights? So that was interesting. You saw the four guys sitting out, right? Two on each team, but then there was six guys mixing it up right when the puck drops. I liked it. I liked the way that, by the way, the big point is the Rangers stink. I bet the Rangers, and they should have won this damn game. And what would they lose, 4-2 or more? Did they give up an empty netter at the end there? For God's sake. So I lose money there thinking they were going to exact revenge. But secondly, taking out your best player and taking out the other team's best player or a single player. We're doing this 86 Mets documentary, Bell. Oh my God. You're going to love it.
Can't wait.
It's so good. And the third episode, I'll give you a little hint, is my favorite. And it shows all the fighting, all the fights on the team. The team had like four fights that year, led by Ray Knight. A lot of crazy people. Kevin Mitchell, Dykstra's nuts. You know, even Wally Backman, a scrapper back then. And then it leads up to, it ends at the Astros series. And that game six in that Astros series is the best ever, I think, now that they recap it. But it doesn't get as much play as the Mookie and the ground ball and the Red Sox game six. But against the Astros, that was amazing. And
single
Mike
best
Scott,
total playoff postseason. Yeah. I mean, you there may have been better World Series, but for the entirety of the postseason, that's the 86 is number one.
Right. Donnie Moore. You got the home
run.
That's Hendu
hitting
Moore.
The home run. Right.
And by the way, you got day games on during the week. It's unbelievable what they got away with back then.
Yep. But, go ahead. Sorry.
No. So my big point is with the fight. So Mike Scott is scuffing the ball. He's completely scuffing the ball. You could see the way it drops and you could see everything that happens with this ball. And a former Met, it was lousy with the Mets and then comes on and they can't touch him. And the guys in the interview and the confidentials are saying, like, Dykstra's like, if that had gone seven games, we lose that game. He was so dominant. He won MVP of the series with his team losing. And they show the ball, and it's clearly scuffed, but all the umpires just ignore it. And what I'm thinking is, the Mets team, no one said this, but if they had lost game six, and I always thought this with Michael Jordan, although it would be a little more obvious, if the Mets had lost game six, why not leadoff hitter Lenny Dykstra in game seven just attack Mike Scott and bend his arm as much as you can? So what's the worst they could do? They're not going to cancel the game and go back until Mike Scott is rehabilitated, right, from a broken arm. They kind of have to play it, and they have to find the Mets a number that wouldn't equal what they would earn for going to the World Series. If it was ever going to happen, I think it might have happened then in Game 7. But did you ever think that with Michael Jordan? Like, oh, if a guy just knees him in the nuts and he has to sit out like 6 minutes, that could be the difference between winning and losing with the Knicks and Bulls.
It's a marvelous idea. It's an extension of, like, you hear that when two guys fight in the NHL. If the two guys have to sit down for 5 minutes and it's like, oh, that the team with the talentless big guy fighting a guy who actually is a top six forward, like, oh, the team with the goon wins that one because now the good player has to sit down with him for the next 5 minutes.
And right.
That's exactly right. That's ingenious. I mean, I guess teams try to do that too. Stated purpose of Terrell Suggs was to smack Colin Kaepernick and get him out of the game. Like, I'm going to break your will physically.
Yeah.
If you try to run around and run that run option stuff, I'm going to hit you really hard.
Seems harder in football, even though I know because they have pads and everything, but baseball, I don't know. I wonder what would have been. I wonder what, and especially since he was cheating, I don't know how much sympathy he would have gotten. Now, you know what would have been interesting? I know our friends at FanDuel, you could live bet anything. I'd love to live bet a hockey fight. So quick, though. I know these are like 10 seconds and it's subjective. But if the referee, who's minding his own business anyway until the very end, can declare a victor from these hockey fights, we could really make out on the deal. Don't you think? Would you bet on a hockey fight?
Yes, I've told you. Listen, enough with this jive with whichever, which is it, Jake Paul or Logan Paul, whichever one's the fighter.
Logan's going, well, they're both Logan. Logan's got Floyd, but Floyd. Jake is the one that just fought. Yeah.
By the way, that's not going to be very satisfying either, because he's not going to knock him out, right? Floyd knocks nobody out. Is he going to knock this guy out?
I don't know what he's going to do. I do worry about one of these fights, Floyd taking a dive and everybody collects on a 10-to-1 ticket from one of the Pauls.
Now that's a prediction.
It's good.
Listen, I love the goon fights, and I was all for them. And I, you know, have mm-hmm. my favorite goons of history and my most hated. And by the way, it is a major part of what that bloodlust is, what makes that visceral passion is what makes hockey so compelling. People are like, I don't get it. You get into it, you watch it long enough, you will hate your opponents more than you hate your opponents in any other sport. That's the edge the NHL has. And so I kind of get the old school NHL guys being kind of like, kind of got to keep that stuff because it does heat things up with our fan bases and the teams and the rivalries are great. All that said, give me Tom Wilson versus Vontaze Burfict. If we want celebrity fights, that's the fight.
That's fun. That's good. All
give me that.
I hope you're listening, FanDuel. Maybe it's not live betting because that's too hard. It's too fast. But if Tom Wilson is to fight X or Y or Z, these are the lines on that. Maybe they have it before the games. It would be interesting. I have another idea for FanDuel also, but before I give them ideas, they've given me an idea, and that is to bet on golf. Now, I had this idea many, many years ago, but FanDuel makes it easy because they're the number one sports book in the country, in the world. We can keep going. Their app, simple to use, got great odds on all different betting markets, exclusive, always on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts, and the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. Fast withdrawals, Dave. When you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Like I said, player props, futures, whatever you want to bet on, look for it on FanDuel. They have a heap of options. FanDuel has exclusive same-game parlay feature where you make a bet small for a chance to win big. And right now, they're letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Bet your first wager on anything, FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Now, as far as this golf, what is this? The Wells Fargo tournament? It's going to be started by the time we get going here. 2 and 3 balls, head-to-head matchups. Use your current odds from FanDuel Sportsbook and do it with promo code Extra Points. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Victor Hovland, 17-1. Todd Furman's all over that. I think he knows something. I think sometimes he knows something. I can tell by the way he talks. 17-1 and for top 20 for Hovland, the Scandinavian goes out at +105. Dave, you got a pick for us for Thursday?
I do. You got me all heated up on the puck, and so I'm going to go with the Bruins. Sorry, Eddie Spaghetti. I think you'll probably agree with them. They're in tumult in the front office.
The Rangers? Yeah.
The Rangers I'm sorry. Yes. The Bruins are in good shape as they head towards the playoffs, but they did lose in overtime to the bum Devils at a time where they cannot sacrifice points. They make amends for that against the aforementioned Blue Shirts, who kind of in a way and I don't want to say this, I'm not trying to upset Spaghetti, got a little humiliated by Tom Wilson and the Caps.
Yes.
They didn't do what they set out to do, which was to bloody some Caps. They didn't do it at all.
Oh.
Anyway, also, more importantly, the Rangers played a game on Wednesday night.
The Bruins didn't. Yeah.
The Bruins did not. And I think in the greatest rub of all is Buchnevich is going to be sat down. He's one of the best players on the Rangers. So he's probably, for his cross check, on one of the Caps.
That was dirty as hell. He shouldn't play again. That guy shouldn't play again.
Well, guess what? You want frontier justice, NHL. There you have it. That's how it goes. That's what you're going to get, is guys swinging sticks at others' heads. But here's how confident I am, Sal. I don't even know why the line is like this. Bruins, given a goal and a half, are +130. That seems very nice. And you know what? I think the Bruins are going to house this team that's completely given up in the Rangers. Make it extra spicy. Go 2.5.
Whoa.
And that return is +214.
Wow.
Take the Bruins.
So they're going to win this game 4-1 or 3-0 or 5-2 or something like that? All right.
That's two and a half. I said. Hear me now.
Two and a half will
later.
Make you laugh, Dave says. All right. Yeah, I bet the Rangers. Now, I should mention on what Monday we gave these people free picks. You had like a maybe at this point in the year, we don't bet three teamers minus one.
I know.
And a half.
Yeah. I don't think I gave anybody anything free. It was quite costly, in fact. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. You have my apologies. I was as stunned as anybody.
My game at least had the decency to get rained out. So yes. I couldn't lose for you people. But I am going to go. My free pick for Thursday is going to be the Braves. I'm not going with the Braves, but the Braves took two from the Nats. It's a getaway game on Thursday. Nats minus 106 over the superior Braves. Kind of a fishy line, but then you got Lester on the bump. Five innings, five hits allowed, no one runs in his first outing. And that was his also last outing. And Drew Smyly on the other side for the Bravos, who come out flat. Smiley's got an 8.05 ERA. Nats win this minus 106. Why are they a favorite or why is it a pick 'em? Don't even worry about it. Take the Nats and take the Bruins minus 2.5, according to Dave. I thought next Tuesday, the 11th, was the first playoff game in the NHL. The playoffs started, but they moved it. I guess Vancouver hasn't played any games this year. So then now it's the 16th. Are they just going to keep moving this? They'll get the playoffs done eventually, right?
I am very anxious about these playoffs and by hook or by crook, my nightmare is that the Penguins are going to have to play the Bruins in round one. I think it's going to, no matter what they do, I just think it's going to break that way. And the bummer is that the Bruins, with their COVID and everything, had to jam in more games in the tail end here, and now they're going to get to rest up like everybody else, including the Penguins. So I don't care for that. We had a competitive advantage.
There you go. All your Pittsburgh teams get screwed by COVID. You can write a book about it.
John Lester still in the bigs too is crazy too. Yeah. And pitching pretty well so far.
Speaking of pitching pretty well, John Means, a no-hitter for the Orioles. Now that's the third one already of the season. Joe Musgrove and Carlos Rodon. And I would like FanDuel to have a futures bet on who's going to throw the next no-hitter. It'd be the crazy, crazy odds for everybody because anyone's eligible, right? I mean, it's Carlos Rodon, any less or more likely than Jacob DeGrom? Probably a little bit, but not by 30.
No, that's a great, I think that's a great call. I do think that's a fun bet too. And FanDuel, because Major League Baseball didn't seem to consider that in this pitching little window that we're in, pitching dominant era we're in. In the last 5 years, it's funny. I feel like it ebbs and flows over the decades. Like it felt like we went 15 years without a perfect game. And then some years it feels like you have like three perfect games and now we're in this pitch. No wonder a lot of guys are able to take no hitters through the shorter games here. They had no accommodation for this, no plan of what they're going to call it, something special. FanDuel can fix that. I'm with you. We should
do that.
That would be a super fun bet to be making. Like, yeah, this guy's good. I'm going to bet him to throw a no-hitter. It's a fun.
Yeah, you get an alert on your phone. This guy's got a no-hitter through six. Like, oh boy, all right, let me check in on this. If that's your guy, it's very exciting. At like 200-1 odds, it'd be nice. But at least on every game, they should have odds for a no-hitter also. They have odds for extra innings and all sorts of things that are not going to happen. Or not likely to happen, to have the no-hitter odds. Why not? Astros, Yankees. Oh, boy, those Yankee fans showed up and booed the Trashtros hard. And what's the score now, Joe? I don't have my eyes on it. Is it 3-3? Am I going to lose that game still? Or
it is great news, Sal. Yankees? 6-3, Yankees.
Damn, this is it. They had their window where they were going to lose, and then they bent the Tigers, AJ Hinch, and now the Astros. This is interesting how they're taking care of business here. But so that we need rivalries in baseball, right? We need it in Garrett Cole, former Astros pitcher.
But you want to be able to root tomorrow. Want to be able to root for one or the other. They're both loathsome. This is the baseball equivalent of Alien versus Predator, the tagline of which was whoever wins, we lose. And we is everybody who's not an Astros or Yankees guy.
And then looking up at the Red Sox, who I think they'll be a game and a half behind right now. Did that Red Sox lose? They were 3-1 the 7th or something. Anyway, so there you go. Yankees, they're no fun, but they are plus 280 to win the American League, minus 130 to win the AL East, even though they're
Giancarlo Stanton's still fun when he catches hold of one.
Yeah.
He's one of those all-timers, man. He's It's got something like kind of like a Glenn Allen Hill or Dave Kingman, kind of David Kingman type thing. Like when they catch one, certain guys.
Effortless. Yeah.
You just know it's gone the instant that it hits the bat. Other guys, you kind of watch. There's something about Giancarlo every time he hits one. When it catches it, he instantly knows it's gone with his reaction to it. That's fun to watch.
You know, Mike Trout batting like over 400, I think 407 coming into today, 8 home runs. I was talking about it with some people and I was like, what would Shohei Ohtani have to do to win MVP? I'm like, oh yeah. You know, the guy pitches and he hits. He's really good. And, the answer was he has to get off the Angels because he's not going to win with Mike Trout there. Right. What does he have to, can you give it to Ohtani? I know he's only 1-0, but he has a bunch of home runs because he had to skip a start because he got hit in the elbow on the base paths. But if the guy hits 25 home runs and has 9 wins, you can't give it to anyone else. I know he's not trending for that, but for God's sakes, right? I don't care what Trout does. You get near the 10 win total and put up numbers like the top quarter of the major league hitters, you got to be considered.
Yeah, there have been some shady results. I get, the one that always stands out to me. Yeah, I'm with you. The analytics people will make a big case about he's not even the best player on his team, right. and Mike Trout's the best player, and it's an offense. And at best, they'll split votes. You're probably right.
Ohtani was 11-1. Now he's plus 850. Trout's the favorite at 2-1. Byron Buxton right between them at 8. Well, also plus 850.
Well, I guess it renders it all moot if Mike Trout can do what nobody's been able to do in 70 years or what? What's it been now? 80 years? Is that how long it's been since DiMaggio? Or since Ted Williams hit 400?
Was that 41? 1941?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess.
80 years. We had trouble figuring out the numbers other day, too.
Sweet Jesus. That was 80 years ago?
I know. It's a lot. let's talk NFL. I heard you guys talking about it on -3, Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if anyone really ever loved him outside of Green Bay, but like, I guess you admire him, right? It just keeps going along. But the sentiment is kind of switching, right? Like now we're hearing that he's a crybaby and he's spoiled and cranky and taking attention away from the NFL draft. And now he has a name for the GM. And
compares him to Jerry Krause. He's basically doing what Michael Jordan was doing during their dynasty, you know.
I found it interesting. The key difference Matt Smith is that
the Packers ain't exactly a dynasty.
On -3, he's like, this isn't the NBA. You can't just sit. They'll move on from you, right? And I think he used Le'Veon Bell as the example. And it's a good example, but it's also not the MVP of the league, right? Do you feel it's different with Rodgers than it would be for Lev Bell or anybody else?
Yeah, I guess because the quarterback kind of just stops everything, right? That, you know, like if he doesn't show up, it is.
You ask me a simple question like who's not going to make the playoffs, the Seahawks or the Steelers? I'm like, oh man, it's the same question because it all depends where Rodgers goes. He could easily get that 7th spot for Denver, right?
Well, I think, first of all, I do think he's going to go to Denver. I mean, take a step back. Why would the Broncos have taken a cornerback? What would they really take a cornerback at number 9 with Justin Fields and Mac Jones sitting there? Come on. They think Teddy B's the guy. I think that Mark Schlereth, by the way, who's plugged in to the Denver Broncos organization, what, he's just shooting his mouth off speculating? Or does he know that? And by the way, he hasn't said a ton yet, right? Has he really pushed back at all this? I feel like the Broncos are like, come on, Mark, what do you do? Hey, stink. Come on. Cool it until June.
Yeah, it's true.
We don't want to blow this thing.
Yeah, but the other side of this is, all right, you say, why didn't they take someone? Why didn't they trade up to get Justin Fields if they weren't thinking of getting Aaron Rodgers? Like Matt Smith said, why the hell do the Packers have to snap to it and trade Aaron Rodgers when the draft was the time to do it? That's when you could get somebody's assets and make it work for you in a year or two. But now, hold on to them. What do they care?
Well, you know, I've asked guys this question about, as it related to Tom Brady, I think. I'm trying to think of what big-time QB got jammed up. And I asked around various players. And the bottom line, most guys come around. Like Brett Favre says, I know Rodgers, and he's willing to hold out. But Aaron Rodgers, his football mortality is right there. He's only got so many more cracks. I think that the workaround for the Packers is that they brought this on themselves, and they're like, you know, they can sell that to the fan base. So, you know what? We love Aaron Rodgers, but he's decided he wants to move on. And, you know, we made a decision two drafts ago to take Jordan Love because that's how much we like the guy.
I think they have to make him look like the bad guy. It's such a football town. I think he has to actually sit for them to start to trade him. Honestly, I don't think anything happens between now and then, unless they're offered a fortune. But like I said, you want that first round pick a couple weeks ago. You don't two or three of them. You don't want them this year, next year, right? It's still a winnable division, even with Jordan Love as quarterback. Like,
well, here
now they can't regroup.
The other aspect of that is maybe you can't trade it. Well, if you don't trade Aaron Rodgers and he in fact decides I am going to sit out, so screw. One way or the other, you likely have to roll with Jordan Love. The expectation at this point, and that front office, whoever it was, Murphy, Gutekunst, whoever actually pulled the trigger on that move, is going to be awfully nervous if in week one it is Jordan Love. Because if he stinks, that's it for that for the front office, right? If it's like, wait a second, we gave away Rodgers for that. Like that, if you get that reaction in 2021 and it's negative, that's going to be pretty grim, and there will be no winning back the fan
base. You, but in you the will meantime, be out the door. I think they do have to make Aaron Rodgers the bad guy, and keep this in mind. Love, we haven't seen him. We know nothing of what he's going to do on the field, but he could be the second best quarterback in that division. He could be. Like, I don't know, Fields does it better, or whatever capable backup they sign could get them to a wild card. I really do. I know they're losing the MVP if he flees. They were one play away from the Super Bowl, and they're not going to do that with Jordan Love in 2021 or whatever backup they get, but they could come in second in that division.
Yeah, I wonder what QBs are out there to protect themselves as much as Jordan Love. Who's on? Is there anybody out there on the free market that's a viable option? Because you kind of don't want, if like I say, for the reasons I just said, you don't want Jordan Love to take the field for any reason, because it's going to be egg on your face if he stinks in his first.
Could you?
Games.
I don't even know the implications. Could you get Teddy Bridgewater? Could you get Drew Lock? Would Drew Lock in the AFC West is different from Drew Lock in the NFC North. I'm not saying any of this is better than Aaron Rodgers, but they could avoid being completely embarrassed and still make him the bad guy.
Do you think the Lambeau faithful are going to embrace QB1, Cam Newton, if they move on from him up in Foxborough? How about Jimmy G?
Well,
that, I guess, would be a possibility. But Andrew Luck. The main lesson is...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one. The takeaway is, I know I'm a broken record about it, but what were the Packers doing in 2020? This isn't 2020. This isn't 2020 hindsight either. 2020 on 20 hindsight. Right.
Kicking the field goal, you mean?
No. Yeah, well, that too. But drafting Jordan Love, like, it was such a desperate need that you had to trade up to get this guy when you knew he was going to start. It's ridiculous. How many times I got to tell you? It's almost, Sal, I'm starting to even think that some of these NFL GMs aren't listening to my counsel. What other conclusion can I reach here? You don't need to go crazy to get a quarterback. Not one that's going to sit for the next 2 years, but behind the QB1 or 1A of the 21st century. You got yourself jammed up, and it was and for a dumb reason. So you could draft Jordan Love and let him learn at the knee. And by the way,
I don't even know. Maybe they're just screwing with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he's not that great a guy. You know, maybe he pisses people off. By the way, there's a lot of footage of him screaming at contestants on Jeopardy. Screaming. It hasn't been released yet. You'll see during commercial breaks. I could see him not being a very popular guy. How many players go to bat for him ever? You guys made the comparison with Brady. All right, maybe no one's like Brady, but there aren't dozens of guys hailing him, right? From near or far. So we'll see what happens.
Right, except that when I think about the Hall of Fame bound QBs, really the only guys that are clean in that regard are Brady and Favre. And it's weird what Favre has done
that
to damage his legacy. I've just never heard anybody say, like, yeah, he was a jerk. like about either one of those guys. Really, that's the only two guys? As far as I can tell. I'm not talking about Jimmy G, who understands what he is and what he isn't. Jimmy G has to accept the role of tutor because he wants to play in the league somewhere else. He knows he's not headed to the Hall of Fame at this point.
Wait a minute. You're saying any Hall of Famer in the last 20, like Kurt Warner gets, we had Kurt Warner on a couple weeks. We should have brought this up.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I mean, do we have to name names though?
I just want to say, I told you who was clean here. Yeah.
Told you who was clean. That was my list. I gave it to you. Period.
Gotcha. All right.
Put a period after it.
You know, I thought we'd put a period after Tim Tebow's career, but this guy has a lot of tryouts everywhere. Every single sport, every team. And now Urban Meyer doesn't care that he has the Jets and the Mets stink all over him. Tim Tebow is going to give him a chance to be his starting tight end. And I was thinking today, I was like, how about Tebow ends up being the quarterback for the Jacksonville? And then every scout ever associated with the team or the league gets fired, right? Could we just throw every scout out of there if that were to happen, if Tim Tebow becomes the quarterback of the Jaguars? But I think they're getting a little cute over there in Jacksonville.
I bet before they even do anything, at least Sean Payton earned the right to pull nonsense like this. What's Urban Meyer done? He's had a couple of weird little missteps already, and I'm not hanging ATN on him, but that was also a weird pick to make. But yeah. I kind of get it, but also feels like a little bit of a luxurious pick to use when you already have James Robinson back there.
He's not going to be their 20 carry back. And he said as much on Friday Friday, drafted him Thursday.
That was very strange to me. But yeah, Tebow, but I will say, what is he, 36, you say? 37 already at this point?
Yeah, boy, I think he's right there.
He's already that. He's already at the tail end of his career.
He's already older than Jesus was, which that's got to be a double-edged sword for him.
How does that hit a guy like Tebow? I'm not steeped in New Testament philosophy. Is that like a good thing or is that disrespectful to get older?
I don't know. I think I'd love someone to ask him that in the
33,
interview.
Number you know? 33. We should. Yeah, right. As I always feel obliged to point out too, people always do love to point out in their myopic worlds that they say, you know, Tim Tebow, any father would be thrilled for their daughter to bring this young man home.
Sure.
Not what if you're a Muslim or a Jew or an atheist? Then you wouldn't be very happy about
it. You're right. Different fathers. Know?
What if you like having rangy conversations that don't always every second or third sentence refer back to Jesus Christ? What if you have a rainbow of conversation that you like to have, but instead this guy keeps steering it back. Well, Mr. Collins, your daughter and I, you know, praise Jesus Christ that we met each other. Like, I don't know if I'd care for that.
You go down Fairfax right now, and a lot of the guys with the payas, so they go, hey, we're going to set this guy up with your daughter. It's like, no, thanks.
I gotta talk. Actually, it's a better question maybe for Kevin Hench than you, because you kind of in this regard win the lottery with three boys and no girls. Because people always do that thing of like, oh, my daughter's not dating. It's always a hilarious joke. My daughter's not going on a date until she's 35 if she's lucky.
Right.
Like, oh, he's gonna have to deal with me at the front door, all that kind of stuff. Like, consider the opposite, Pops. Yeah. What I mean, listen, I don't want, shame the devil. I don't want my daughters tramping around on one hand, but I also don't want them not getting asked out to any, to the prom. That would break my heart too. Like, nobody asked her to the homecoming.
Yeah,
dance.
That would be bad.
Like, will you take me, Dad? That I would just cry the whole night that we're dancing. I'd feel so bad. So I don't want that. I don't know what the answer is.
Somewhere in the middle, maybe Bill Gates, someone like that. He's on the market now.
No. I'm after Mrs. Gates. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. I'll say this. Tebow, I don't know how the attrition. This is another long-held thing. Like, you can't take a year off of football. And Kevin Colbert of the Steelers clearly still abides by that, as he cited. That's why they passed on a bunch of guys, because they took last season off. But that aside, Taysom Hill can do it, why can't Tim Tebow be that gadget guy? Why can't you just throw him on there? Like, what was the guy's name? Chris Leak? Is that right? That was the QB's name from Florida.
The Bad News Bears guy? Yeah, Chris, Leak.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's Kelly Leak.
That's Kelly Leak.
Yeah, Leak was a Florida quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, remember he? I mean, like he was the thrower, and Tebow would come in for short yardage and all that jive.
You should never want to see this guy again. He won the most improbable playoff game of all time against your Steelers.
Oh, damn! Not only that,
that sucked.
You know who was covering him on that play? My guy, Ike Taylor, got stiff.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hey, let's talk offensive rookie of the year. We're going to discuss this on Against All Odds tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, mazel tov to the fellas. They're on a roll. Damashek is cool, but I do.
I think they're 2-1 today. I think they're 26-6 against the spread, or you know, taking baseball games is not a lot of spread, but they don't pick like -250s or anything.
Thank Jesus. If I can thank anybody, I'll thank him for their great run there. And great job with what you did the first 10 minutes. That is a fun.
That was not a great job. And I could kill Harry for that. We'll discuss that. But basically, we did first to 10 Tuesday. You could bet these basketball games.
The idea is fun, is what I
Yeah, the idea was fun. And it was actually fun watching it and going through it. But what happened is we let Harry pick a team and he's like, all right, it'll be in the Toronto Clippers game. And we're going to take Toronto, the underdog. Now the Clippers are a big, big favorite for the game. Doesn't matter as much when you're betting first team to score 10 points, but still matters a little. You know what matters? The tip. They got the tip and they got an extra shot as a result. And they won 10-8, the Clippers. But we find out, I'm like, guys, let's really bet this. Let's make it hurt if we lose, and we'll be elated if we win. And I don't know, I think I had like 500 on it, and the Parlay Kid and Brother Bri had 100. And we find out Harry, who saddles us with this bad pick, bet $22.40 because the guys were 22-4 up until then over the last 26. So right as soon as I knew he only bet $22, I knew we were doomed.
Listen, I am happy for them. I'm happy for you. It's nice for you to have a role, but it goes too far when Harry starts beating me on puck bets. That's not supposed to be my thing.
What do you mean he's been? What did he say? What did he do?
He said the Penguins and the Flyers were going to go over, and he cited cold hard facts. And I said, pshaw, this time it will not. It will go under tonight. And then he had the temerity. He takes to Twitter after the fact to brag on it. I don't care.
Yeah, because then nothing that makes sense. He'll go the other way if it makes sense. And worse yet, he's now he's brainwashed Jen Piacenti. My God, baseball expert. She knows more she's forgotten more about the current baseball than I have. And he loves Robbie Ray, Harry. That's his man crush in baseball. And she picked him in her daily fantasy pick. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
Just stay out of my business, Harry. You know,
I'm like, with
you make your guy in the desert there, your pal in the desert, Phil Kessel, like he's in good shape. I don't need to be shown up by you on this. Please stay out of my affairs.
All right. Well, stay away from all of us, really. But what I want to go offensive rookie of the year with you. We'll like I said, we'll do this on Against All Odds. Trevor Lawrence +270, Justin Fields 5-1, Zach Wilson 7-1, Trey Lance 9-1, Mac Jones +950, Kyle Pitts 13-1, Jamar Chase 15-1, Najee Harris, your guy 15-1, Travis Etienne 15. I can go on and on. Devontae Smith 17, Waddle 17. What jumps out at you? Who jumps out at you? You would think the quarterbacks who are going to start theoretically from week one have the best shot, and that's why Trevor Lawrence is the favorite. You think he wins it?
Well, in terms of touches, you know, Jamar Chase is interesting too, and Kyle Pitts. But I mean, talk about a guy who's going to get a lot of opportunity in terms of just straight up volume week after week is Najee Harris. That's my heart pick. But it's a quarterback league, and so if a guy has a nice season throwing it, ergo, the correct answer is QB1 up there in Chicago now, Justin Fields. He runs because these guys run around. If anybody can run around a little bit, that offsets the passing numbers. And Trevor Lawrence can run some, and Zach Wilson moves around some. But I'm going to stick with what I say. Justin
Fields. I think, I don't know if he starts week one, though. I wonder if Dalton gets in. Out of all those guys, I think Dalton gets the nod. I know Dalton's favored to start week one. I know Jimmy G is favored to start week one. I think the wide receivers, there's been two in the last 17 years to win offensive rookie of the year. It's been Odell, and it was, Seattle receiver. Percy Harvin. Does that sound right?
Yeah. It was? Percy Harvin won offensive rookie of the year.
I'm almost positive he won in his rookie year.
I'm going with Presley Harvin. Another Harvin gets it.
Oh, I don't
see
him.
Does that count as offensive rookie of the year if he's that's a punter?
It's an offensive pick to take the fat punter on the
Steelers. The fat punter on the Steelers. Have you seen him throw the ball? Look out.
Interesting. Well, he's got a lot of players to pass here.
I'm going
to
go Justin Fields. That's my pick. Right. So what's your final answer?
Well, my final answer is going to be a quarterback. I think it's hard enough for a receiver to win this. So Ja'Marr Chase is fun at 15-1. So is Najee Harris for the running backs, 15-1. But you have five quarterbacks, right? Five quarterbacks who are going to start for their team. Probably start. Should get in the first 3 weeks. But I'm going Zach Wilson. I don't know why. I like the 7-1 odds. Maybe they'll show pity on him because he's a Jet, but I think he could maybe put up big numbers. I was looking at that number one spot, and it's not impressive. The last five quarterbacks to go number one, they average like 13 touchdowns or 16 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Very strange.
It's funny how people just misremember things wildly. Yeah. Peyton Manning was not some, you know, prohibitive. Oh, he's bound for the Hall of Fame 2 years into his career. Look at his numbers. Like, I think he has, maybe I'm misremembering. I mean, he threw a lot of pick sixes very early in his career too. People forget that little chunk of his run there. And that was with Marshall Faulk standing behind
him. He was no Tim Tebow.
Do you go with a QB named Andy if Aaron Rodgers is no longer in Green Bay? Do you play it safe, Sal? Do you go listen, why are we going aggressive here? Let's we now become the division. If that happens, in fact, FanDuel obviously has already accounted for Rodgers landing there.
For sure. They vaulted past the fourth in the AFC all of a sudden, Denver.
Right. Yeah. So they're anticipating it, and that's always a great, a pretty good measure of what's about to go down. And who then becomes the favorite? Like the Vikings, maybe, I guess?
Yeah, the Vikings move up. Well, they're second favorite now, right? So I think they would just have to move up there. But you're right. Like, I don't know. Just head-to-head, the Vikings definitely going to beat the Bears twice. They definitely going to beat the Lions twice. I think it's anyone's division. The Vikings are plus 270. The Packers minus 125. Bears 3-1. And the Lions 21-1. Interesting for sure. Let's switch to the NBA on Thursday. Clippers Lakers early line on FanDuel. Clippers 7.5-point favorite. I think Kawhi plays this game. He definitely played against Toronto for the first 10 points. He played hard. Then they won that game. LBJ is sitting. Big game for the Lakers. They lose a game like this, and then on Friday against Portland, and they're right back in that seven slot. And LeBron does not want to be in that seven slot. He thinks people should get arrested for having thought up that idea of the 7-10. Oh, no, fired.
I think at one point he advocated for that exact idea. But either way, it's not as bad as Major League Baseball boiling 162 games down to a nine-inning result to determine who actually gets to play in the playoffs proper. But this is pretty bad, too. It's one game, right?
I like it.
If these were one of my teams. If you're not making the top seed.
This isn't the top seed who goes down to one game is going to lose. That's more of a crapshoot. This is seven. These are teams that if we were talking about the NCAA tournament, you would say, they don't deserve to be in anyway. So just make the top six seeds, right?
Eddie Spaghetti, was this my idea or somebody else's? I can't remember. Let's say it was mine, though, just so that I can claim it going forward. The most fun thing would be, and people are like, oh, you couldn't do it. Nah, there are a million things that people said for decades. Oh, you can't do it that way because, and there's no real reason. In every sport, this would be great. Mm-hmm. You win the division or you're a top seed, you get to pick your foe. I think pick your foe would be the greatest, funniest thing in the world. And it would not be fun to be the number one because you know you would get a team that was PO'd. Like, you picked us? How dare you? there would be nothing more fun. And that crosses the four major sports.
I think it's great.
And how about the Final Four in college football, too? And how about the Final Four in basketball, too? I don't care what you do. That would be so fun if you were like, what fans, who do you think? Like, what if you fan voted it? Like,
I like it because it's another thing to bet on. Who will Coach Belichick pick to meet in the first round or the second divisional round of the NFL playoffs, AFC playoffs? That would be great.
And think of the balls move you could make. Like you could, you could just like, you're the head coach, you're Belichick or whoever. Like, it doesn't matter who we play. I'm going to flip a coin, you know, and just do that. Yeah. Like,
sir, you have to pick. You have to pick. Nope, I don't care. It would be impossible. It would take hours. It would take like 18 hours from the.
And they turn everything into a TV event. If you just like here, we're putting the possible teams we could play here.
Mm-hmm.
Or the best of all moves is you pick the number two seed. You're the one seed you pick.
Oh, you go right after. You know what? It would lead to, or everyone picks Logan Paul. That's the first round, no matter what sport it is. Yeah, it's interesting. But let's see if the Lakers can. They drop these two. They're in trouble. There's only seven games left. They drop Thursday. They drop Friday. They're in a heap of trouble.
It's funny. There's with different sports, obviously baseball chemistry is completely.
Chemistry is not a sport. Oh, you weren't listening. I thought you were listening.
Well, yeah, okay. If you were in chemistry club in high school, Sal, it is a sport.
Oh, no. It's a serious one. Is that
right? No, please. Chemistry. That was when I started to officially get... Well, listen, that's a lie. I was already mad at school. But the idea, like, as it got further along and deeper into it, this, like, combination of, like, some math with letters and, like, the chemistry. It seems like in the movies, it looks like fun. Like, Frank, and you're building monsters and trying to bring them to life.
Yeah, by the time you get to that.
None of that charm.
Yeah.
I hate it. Why are you making me do this? I can I sign a waiver that I promise I won't be a doctor and then I don't need to do this nonsense because it's humiliating. Right. I don't understand this.
Well, that was cool, but dissecting a frog was never appealing to me, and that was like the practical part of biology. That was bad.
That's the formaldehyde that gets to you. But chemistry in baseball is completely meaningless. I don't care whatever. It's stupid, except for the guys that have to make the double play.
Oh, I don't know. You watch this 86 Mets stock, this rough cut, boy. I'll tell you, it's different.
Okay, they liked each other, but yeah, I don't think it's imperative. And even in football, people say it's chemistry. You could take a running back off the street or a quarterback off the street, and we've seen this happen. You can plug him in, and things go fine. Basketball's weird. They you think like it's five guys, you give the ball to one of your two top scorers. Chemistry is really tough to achieve for some reason for these guys. I don't know why it is so elusive, but you would think
that might
Lakers
be why
team.
They're the best coaches and the most respected, or what should be the most respected coaches, to get, you know, the egos in check and everything else, and that's what's tough. But yeah, I agree. Hey, let's play that. Someone reached out to us, Dave, at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. That's The Extra Points Gang. There's two E's in there. Theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. They wrote in last week and they said, you're mispronouncing Mario Lemieux's name.
Oh, look who's over my head
there.
Sal,
he's
on
right
the
there.
Zoom.
There he's smiling at the prospect of this over your head there. I wasn't sure which of the two, the first or the last name, and we attacked it that you said Mario, and it's Mario, not Mario. And then we got this. Jim, do you have this? He left us a voice message here.
Hey, Dave, it's B-Rod from Quebec province here. Just a little follow-up on number 66. Now listen, and listen good. I'll give you Mario because of your cute little Western Pennsylvania state accent. But Lemieux? Why don't you just call him Pepe Le Pew? His name is pronounced Mario Lemieux. I will not repeat myself. You can always listen back for clarification. And how dare you throw Mo under the bus for your ridiculous pronunciation of this great man's name. My former neighbor, by the way. That's today's lesson. Go Hawks.
Wow. So that's B-Rod wrote in and then left a voice message. And I'm not sure that he was doing your voice there or that was his real voice to start
things
off.
I thought
that
was Jim's worst character yet. Well, that wasn't Jim?
No, Jim as himself is his worst character yet. Jim's, but what do you think? I think he's got you there.
Le Pew. He should be, listen, in a league of villains, don't you see? Rooting for the Penguins put you on the right side of history. All that hideous stuff from Sal's Islanders, a bunch of loathsome scumbags like Clark Gillies and Billy Smith. You could root for the Devils, who almost ruined the sport forever. You could root for Adam Graves with his hatchet, Mark Messier, the filthiest legend in any sports history. You could, hey, the entire franchise of the Flyers, goes without saying, is a hateable bunch. And Tom Wilson, the Penguins, look, they make the sport beautiful from Lemieux to Crosby to Yager to Francis, and you're looking to disparage 66. Shame the devil.
No, he's disparaging you because you're not pronouncing the name of his neighbor correctly. It's Lemieux.
I didn't even understand his mess. I thought he was making fun of him, saying he should be pronounced
Lemieux. No, he's saying
Lemieux.
You're mispronouncing Lemieux. It's Lemieux.
I'm sorry I got angry there. I don't like when people impugn 66, and I that's what I sent you doing.
No, he's impugning Lemieux, whatever number you're wearing.
Well, I mean, come on. Listen, we're Americans. We're obnoxious.
Well,
we don't
if you're going to get me,
we don't
on,
even call
on,
it the Tour de France. We Tour de France. Yeah, we call it the Tour de France.
If you're going to get on me for Nikola Jokic, I don't say it the way you want. You should pronounce your favorite athlete of all time the way he would like it pronounced. I think.
You know what I like? The English translation of Lemieux. Do you know it, Sal?
What is it?
Well, Wayne Gretzky. The flower? His name.
Oh, no, that's Canadian guy. Yeah, what is it? That's Gale LaFleur.
Lemieux.
What is it?
Translates in English, fittingly, Sal. The best.
Is it the best, Lemieux? Lemieux?
Wayne Gretzky can be the great one all he wants. Lemieux's the best.
Joel, what do we think of this? He avoids the issue, and then when he figures out what the call was about, he says, so what?
Well, now I need to know what Damashek means, because it might mean confused. Because, but Dave is right. They would play simply the best when Mario Lemieux would have a hat trick or be the star of the game. So he is right.
I mean, I always
that.
Found that a little uninspired. Tina Turner. Here. Hey, what better way to pay homage to the greatest to ever play the game?
Yeah.
Tina Turner. You're simply the best. I don't know. I felt like they could have done a little bit better there. Maybe I should have sung it. If I did a cover of You're Simply the Best, now that would have been mean.
You know what? Maybe if half the fans pronounce his name correctly, maybe they'd come up with something more fitting. Spaghetti, this is a breakthrough, I think. This is his biggest, his most favorite athlete of all time, and he's potentially saying both the first name and last name incorrectly. Right?
I mean, yeah, this is not a shock, though. Dave's going to do things his way. He's going to continue being wrong about Lemieux, Mario Lemieux. It doesn't matter. He's still arguably, I mean, he's a top five NHL player.
You never saw him play.
Who
cares
about all
this? You never saw Wayne Gretzky play.
What he did.
You have no ability to weigh in on this conversation, Eddie Spaghetti.
I just did.
It's foolish. You can talk. Oh, yeah, you're allowed to speak on the subject. It holds no weight whatsoever when you didn't see either guy play. How
it's
would
as
you
simple
possibly
as this.
Have an opinion?
Well, number one, I have seen them both play, but the whole entire sport retired the number 99. No one could wear 99 ever again in NHL. It's like, he's clearly better.
How can
it's
I argue with
that
logic? They retired his number. Well, then that settles it.
Everybody knows how to say his name, too. That's the big point. Speaking of the big point, Joel, babyface Joel Solomon and Jim Cunningham, Hill producer, came up with this. I'm not sure which of the two did. I think, you know, it's the Extra Points podcast, Dave. At the end of the podcast, they want to decide who made the best point of the hour.
Ooh, I like that. Stakes. That's excellent.
Okay. Joel, I, again, I'm catching you off guard because we didn't go over this ahead of time, but does anything jump out at you?
I'm going to go with Dave here. I'm all for the Jaguars. Put in Tebow. Let them. They're going to sell 6 million Jaguar Tebow jerseys.
He didn't say
jerseys.
That. He said that?
Yeah, he's for it. He touched on
that's
Jesus.
My best
him,
point. That's the
in.
Best point of
he
the whole show.
He didn't even say it. He didn't
were
even say that.
Were you listening at all? Well, I said they could. I said if Taysom Hill could do it, why can't Tim
he
Tebow do it?
He said he would like him to marry his daughter. He said, I'll take Tim Tebow on
is
my team.
Is anyone paying attention to anything on this podcast? Is anybody? I would like. All right, Jim, let you take a shot at this. Go ahead.
What was the question?
What was the best point of the fucking podcast? The whole hour. Would anything jump out at you? And like, oh, yeah, all right, good.
Yeah,
this
the
is the extra point.
It was made by the listener.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is a good point. I'll go with that. I'm
keep
fine.
Working on your playoff beard, Jim. Spaghetti.
I think it's Mario Lemieux.
Spaghetti's
right?
Going to vote for himself. He's going to say like, I made the whole point about that they retired his 99's number.
No, I'm actually, I think the best point actually was you. You know, I'm in lockstep with you with the Tom Wilson stuff, that he deserves to be out of the league. I'm totally, I don't agree with the whole Rangers going after the Caps' best player. I think I don't really necessarily care about that, but I think that the fact that Tom Wilson's still allowed to skate suspension free, only fined $5,000 is absolutely asinine.
All right.
Well, I can't believe
I think I made the best point when I said the Rangers suck and the Astros suck because they both cost me money. I don't know what the hell is going on here.
I'll say one last thing on the subject.
Yes.
That it was so easily avoided. The league could have suspended him for one game. Then there would have been. And after the pushback that they got in the ensuing 24 hours, that nobody at the league office said, like, hey, Caps, for your own sake and for Tom Wilson and everything else, just don't dress the guy tonight. Although then I guess maybe they do take a run at it.
They can do that. But in the league's defense, here's maybe what everyone was thinking. And believe me, I don't want anyone to lose their career over some barbarian who just loses his cool. But maybe they said these two, they looked it over and they looked, these teams have played 119 times this year against each other. Maybe we have one moment that stands out. Let it go. Just let it go. It's what good. It's good for the sport.
What a creep. What a creep. Hey, be listening. Don't miss -3 because we got to figure out, we got to settle some significant hash,
what?
Which is FanDuel is going to boost one of our bets from the East Division. Now to the difficult part of it. Which team were we backing in the East Division? Hench's Bruins?
Hockey. Yeah.
Yeah. Hench's Bruins? My Penguins? Certainly not the Capitals. Who are we supposed to support? You want to throw the Islanders hat into the ring? We got to figure this one out.
To win the cup, to win the whole thing or to come out of the East?
I think we'll bet to survive the East. I think that will be our bet.
Okay.
That's going to be tough.
Well,
to
Hench is
out.
Already a little behind here. Made fun of Stanton. He's slipping a little bit. His Red Sox are losing. Is that 6-3 in the 10th? Is that right? Well, they start off with a runner on set. That's what it is. The Tigers are up 6-3 in the 10th. He went after Stanton, and Stan's got, what, an 11-game hitting streak, babyface? 17 hits in the last six games or something crazy?
Yep.
Yeah, he said he was done.
Can't wait to hear. What Hench's
home run back-to-back.
Wow.
Oh, really? Wow. Pretty good. I mean, listen, you got to check out the new -3. I can't wait to hear what Hench has to say about Mac Jones to his team and the Yankees.
Oh, that's right.
Catching,
you haven't had one since then.
And the Yankees catching up to his team. And how Eddie Spaghetti feels, and I know he is going to be cross about Tom Wilson. So that will be a good listen all the way around.
-3, always a good listen. Against all odds. Oh, we have Laugh Lines is fun this week. And what else? What else do we have? Card Wars, Lemon Pepper Parlay, Betting Academy is going to do their stuff. Gina Paradiso and the great Kendrick Perkins, who's also hot with his NBA picks. And Dave, real quick, we did on Laugh Lines, Cinco de Mayo. It's not Cinco de Mayo for anyone anymore. Your favorite five. The Jackson Five was up there.
I was really NSYNC having a
was
tough,
mentioned.
Yeah.
Five Guys struggling. Burgers. Love the fries there. Any other fives jump out? The Five Freeway where Jim Cunningham hangs out in his trailer.
How about, because I'm ashamed. I couldn't, how about Penn's Power Play One?
No,
that's not good. That's too
bad. No,
I know. But can I think about it can I think about it? I should have come up.
That's right. I'm just, if you care.
No. I want to give you a good answer. And I think you
Jackson
deserve
five.
One. Not Joe Flacco.
What were the other choices there? DiMaggio, obviously.
Best five? There is five. That's weird.
What are you talking about?
A single digit number that's not great.
How many greater than Joe DiMaggio?
Wait, what's my five versus five QB matchup all time?
David Wright. It's not going to be a quarterback.
The one tonight. We had Jackson 5, Maroon 5, Five Guys, Joe DiMaggio, the Fab 5 from Michigan, the High 5, the Five Boroughs of Manhattan, right. Rocky 5. We strongly considered Rocky 5. The 5 to Las Vegas.
Is that the best? That's a good – Rocky deserves a shout-out. Was that the best fifth installment of any movie? Ever? Wait.
Oh, yeah,
Star
I think
Wars.
So. Well, I don't know. I didn't see the Fast and Furious, but I think people liked it, especially when it got to the 4 through 7 or 10, whatever they are. Real quick, the fives, DiMaggio, Pujols, Bench, Brett, Jason Kidd, Donovan McNabb, Brooks Robinson.
Pretty good.
There was something else I was forgetting with the five. Well, I guess that's it.
I can't think of anyone in Pittsburgh history. Well, What am I
it
talking
It doesn't have
about?
To be Pittsburgh.
Well, really I know doesn't it doesn't have to be, but yeah. That's what do you think? I thought my brain doesn't yeah. have the range of that guy who I was describing who wants to have different conversations than what Tim Tebow has. Mm-hmm. The correct answer, here's a deep dive. It's not a funny one, but my favorite Pitt football player growing up was Tommy Flynn, the safety, number five.
Jesus Christ. Tommy Quinn's the best five? No.
He was my favorite one.
No.
You said, who's my favorite? There's got to be a band.
If you see
spaghetti.
Someone throwing up on Cinco de Mayo, it's because Dave's answer.
That was
to do
a suck
tequila.
Answer. I agree. It was terrible.
I'll tell you what the answer is.
How
it
about
really
old
is.
Samuelson, who took out Cam Neely? Suck that, Bruins no. fans.
The high five is the best. The high five. Nothing gives two people more joy than a high five, right? Whether it's after a home run or something, we take the high five for granted, and because we're not
sorry
allowed
to disagree with you. I'm old school. I think the high five is a fad that is eventually going to come and go. Mm. It already kind of got usurped by the fist bump and the forearm bash and all of that.
Fist bump's
lazy. Give me the OG low five. That's cool. You see it in a movie.
All right.
It's sort of like when you see a flip phone in mm-hmm. a movie or TV show. Now you're like, whoa, that really dates the movie. There are a lot of movies that you'll watch in the 70s where they're like, hey, man, they give each other five. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But then you stop and think about it. You're like, you know what? That's better. I like it that way.
Is it the low five? All right.
When
how
we see
about
each
the
other
five?
Face-to-face again, we're going to do a regular five.
Oh, I got a five. A good five we hadn't thought of. The five people who are still listening to this podcast. Including the four who are on the Zoom that aren't us.
They're not listening.
No, they're not. It was clearly. Reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.
Tommy Flynn.